It also depends on how much your company wants to invest in automation. There are going to be countries where you have one or two employees that they're not going to pay a $25,000 implementation fee for maybe one-time cart. Sometimes legislation goes in a way that you would not anticipate. I think that's where people are more hesitant, or companies are more hesitant to fully implement it. I've known a few companies that implemented it, and it works perfectly.
Welcome to the Payroll Podcast, the show that explores the latest insights and innovations in the world of payroll. This episode of the Payroll Podcast is sponsored by Deel, the all-in-one global people platform that simplifies how you pay your entire global team. Deel has commissioned Forrester Consulting to bring us the latest insights on the state of global payroll. Over 300 HR and finance leaders from around the globe were surveyed, shedding light on their challenges, what's working for them, and their must-haves for the future. Did you know that 85% of survey professionals anticipated that their payroll costs would increase in the next year due to hidden costs? A unified global payroll solution like Deel can save these businesses time and money with reduced costs, no hidden fees, and a total compliance guarantee. You can download the latest Forrester study now to learn how fragmented global payroll systems are impacting businesses and why a unified global payroll platform like Deel can streamline the entire operation. Click the link in the show notes to download the study. And thanks again to Deel, that's D-E-E-L, for sponsoring today's episode of the Payroll Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Payroll Podcast. My name is Nick Day. I'm CEO at JGA Recruitment Group, and we're specialist global payroll recruiters with offices now in the US and the UK. And remember, if you are a regular listener to this show, please do subscribe to it. Please do share it with all of your colleagues and friends so that collectively we can really continue to raise the profile of payroll everywhere across the globe. Now, today we're joined by an absolute industry extraordinaire in the world of payroll, Anne-Marie Verwyen. She's a distinguished global payroll leader. She currently works as Vice President of Pay Services, Global Mobility and Immigration at Standard & Poor's, also known as S&P, where she is responsible for leading strategic initiatives to optimize payroll operations and facilitate seamless global mobility for employees across borders. And we're going to find out exactly how she does that, because Anne-Marie is pretty well qualified. She's got three decades of experience in the world of global payroll. She's been pivotal in shaping operations and global workforce management, which many other leaders have gone on to follow her lead for. She also holds three master's degrees, including one in leadership, an MBA from Capella University, and a business and payroll master's from the University of Derby. Her academic background has really helped equip her with a strong foundation in business management, leadership principles, and specialized knowledge in payroll services. She doesn't leave it there, though. She's also been studying qualifications in AI and other qualifications beyond. We're going to jump into that during today's show, I can assure you all. But let's just say her expertise in global payroll, along with her vision for leveraging AI in payroll operations, is something that I really want to utilize today to form the foundation of today's episode. Everyone is talking about AI. Everyone is wondering how AI can be used in the world of payroll. And I think there's no one better in this space right now than Anne-Marie to help guide us through how AI can potentially impact global payroll of the future. So this is the episode I think you listeners have been waiting for. This is going to bridge that gap between AI innovation and practical payroll solutions. So without further ado, Anne-Marie Verwyen, welcome to the Payroll Podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. This is absolutely the best intro ever, I would say. I want to meet myself now. I'm like, oh my God, who are you? But thank you. I'm super excited. I know we've been talking for a long time to schedule this, and every time something came in between. So super excited to be here.
I should just let our listeners know, I first saw Anne-Marie do a talk at GPA, it's the Global Payroll Association event, about 5 years ago. And I was honestly speechless. It was that good. So you can probably tell in my introduction, I've been really, really excited about getting you on the show. That was 5 years ago. I can't believe it's taken so long. But we're here now, which is really exciting. So more than ever, I have to ask you, what does the word payroll, Anne-Marie, mean to you?
If I put it in one word, I would say exciting. It's exciting because payroll is a combination of every other function in the business. You have an accounting head, a treasury head, a payroll head, a tax head. Like, your heads are enormous, the number of heads. You're also a problem solver. And the most important thing is your job pays people. Like, everybody works to get paid, and it's your honor to make sure you do that timely and correctly. And I think that's the best job ever.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Well, let's jump into I'm going to pause that for a second, because I've given a big introduction, but I think it deserves a little bit more. So I was going to ask you to demystify AI for us. So I'm going to pause that question just for a second. Tell us a little bit about where you are now, Anne-Marie, and what's got you to the point of this journey, even into AI. But you've got such an amazing history in global payroll, and you've seen so many things change. It'd be lovely just to help bring that to life a little bit for the listeners who perhaps aren't so familiar with your background to date.
And people who are familiar know this story. Like, I started at like the bottom, where you can start, like looking at receipts, coding receipts, writing out the pay stubs. It was very manual. If you wouldn't have introduced me with 30 years experience, my gray hair would have probably said it all. And I've done everything in payroll that you need to know. Like, everybody who started in payroll, I've done it. And that made my journey to become a payroll leader easier, because I've been there. I worked 7 days per week. I worked 18 hours per day. I got in my car to drive to France to close the payroll because the payroll person was sick. You know, I was the person who was, you know, called at noon, 1 o'clock, and then at 11 p.m. because we had a payroll issue, a banking issue. I think that one added to my passion and addiction to payroll. I think because the diversity and the variety of problems you're trying to solve for makes it such an interesting job. As I said, I started at the bottom. Yes, I'm a VP now, but last month I was checking payrolls as well. I think I'm also part of the team, and together we succeed or we fail. What I've learned over time is that I needed time to be the leader that I am now. If I look back at some of the jobs I had in the past, I could have done better, but I didn't have the experience, the knowledge, and the guts to come in and change direction. In one of the blogs I'm writing, I'm talking about strategy. For the longest time, I thought I was not strategic, because strategic in my mind were the Jeff Bezos and, you know, the Elon Musk, the big names who had this vision and they changed the world. And I sold myself so short. But at some point it clicks, and then, you know that you are strategic. Strategic doesn't always mean you need to be the big one. If you have a vision for your department, if you know what direction you want to take, how you make things easier, simpler, cost effective, you have strategy. But it's not always recognized. And it's not always recognized in payroll, because payroll is not the sexy cash cow that a lot of companies look for. Being strategic in payroll means you have to work twice as hard and you have to convince twice as hard. But that made it for me more challenging, but also more interesting. And I've never stopped learning. Like, I've done my 3 masters. I have, I don't know how many certificates. I'm currently doing a 15-week executive presence from Cornell University, where I film myself for 15 weeks doing presentations, being a tour guide, going out. And oh my God, it was so scary. But I do that because I want to make sure that I come across and that I can convince people to come to on my journey. And then Nick and I were talking, because I'm also doing an AI certification with Cornell, and I'm doing a 4-day internship with Columbia University. And it's simply because I want to know what's happening. I don't want to lead people having to remove roadblocks and have no clue what I'm talking about. And that has been my journey ever since. Like, I don't need to be the expert in everything, but I need to know enough to make sure I make my team successful.
I love that. And there's a great saying that says vision drives decision. And you mentioned both those words in that summary, but actually you have a vision. It's driven your decisions to come where you are. You understand in the world of payroll that AI is coming whether we like it or not, right? So if that's the vision for our future, that's going to drive a decision to say, I need to make sure I have the understanding then to remove those roadblocks. And I have nothing but, you know, I commend you for that, because it's something that's seen you have great success. And there's failures, of course, along the way, because we can't have success without it, but it's allowed you to elevate yourself to the position you're in, which is a real thought leader in this space. And, you know, your titles suggest that as well, that you've been able to not just limit yourself to payroll now, that you've been able to collaborate and gain skills in other areas. You're an expert on global mobility and immigration and other areas besides. And that all comes from that willingness to learn, willingness to fail, whether it's going out in the street, as you say, with your Cornell course and people laughing. Well, okay, they'll laugh the first time, but I'll get better. And then eventually they'll stop laughing, right? Because we become experts in those fields. So there are a lot of people listening to this now, though, that will be nervous about AI, whether it's coming or not. I wonder if you could help just demystify, you know, for those that don't quite understand it even, and they're just kind of scared by even the term AI, how help us demystify what it is and why we don't need to be as apprehensive about it as perhaps people might think.
I was one of those people, because the first reaction I had was, this is going to cost jobs. AI is going to replace. And it took time to read, to listen, and to follow the study to realize that, first of all, it's been around since 1950s. And they call it the winters of AI. It's like it's been introduced in 1950s. It was a big hype, and then it settled down and nothing happened. And then a couple of decades later, it came up again, and then they call it the winter of AI, it settled down again. And it was a combination of slowness of the computers, it was too expensive, the time was not right. Apparently now the time is right. So now it's coming fast and furious. And for me, what it means is, based on what I've seen, you know, if you go to TED Talks, there are so many really good talks that help you understand how AI is complementing the human work and how we, you know, it's all about big data, let me call it this way. And AI can come and help you analyze massive amounts of data. And that's for payroll. It's very relevant in such a short time that we could not even look at 5% of that data. Or 1% of that data. I use it for emails, for example, and that's a really good example. You often get these emails in payroll where it's like 10 messages. And to get to what the payroll issue is, you have to scroll down, scroll down, scroll down. Well, now you can ask your AI, say, hey, summarize the email string for me. And within a couple of seconds, you have the bullet points and you know exactly what this is about. So I'm convinced that we will work smarter, not harder. We're going to be more accurate, but we still need humans to make decisions. We still need humans to sign off. Legislation is not always black and white. It's sometimes ambiguous, and that is where we come in. So I think our landscape will change. But I feel it's going to be more interesting, because a lot of the repetitive work, a lot of the analysis, we can use technology for that instead of us doing like a VLOOKUP or a BVOT and then figure it out. So I went from being scared to being a total enthusiast about this.
Yeah, I love that story. And I by the way, I've been on a similar journey in talent acquisition. So I'm also, I mean, Anne Marie was speaking offline, but I'm also doing my AI certification as well. So we're going to be qualified at a similar time, which is really interesting. But actually, when you open up the space and you remove the fear, and fear is often just things we don't understand, right? When we get to understand it, it's no longer fearful, but it becomes quite exciting, because you start to utilize it in a way that you go, actually, there is that part of my day, whether it's the email chain that you were referring to or something else in my world of work, which you go, you know what, that's always a blockage. It's always a bit that I hate doing. It takes me ages. It's not an effective use of my time to do that task. And 9 times out of 10, if we're talking about those kind of computer-based tasks, software-based tasks, that's where AI can really come into the fore. That's where you can usually utilize it, whether it's through an integration or something else, to just smarten up your process, and often to get a better result as well, as you mentioned, and we can do it faster. And I think you raised a really interesting point, which I wanted to just echo back to our listeners here, is sometimes in payroll, legislation is ambiguous, I think was the word you used. And the idea that AI will work best when it has a human to contextualize where it can be used and where it can't. And we still always need human contextualization to human-based problems. And I think that people feel that with the likes of GPT that's come in, that's going to take these jobs away. But garbage in, garbage out, it is not how it works. There's a lot it'll call on resources that may or may not be accurate. And that's where the risk lies on. And we need to have the expertise to understand what looks right and what doesn't. And certainly if I was to use AI to write, I don't know, a job description for me or some recruitment content or anything about payroll, the information is very, very surface level. It doesn't go into the detail, and you need an expert eye to be able to contextualize it, improve it, and actually put it on its right footing. And that's where the intelligence of AI, creating your own GPTs and things, makes a difference. But I wondered, from your perspective, Anne-Marie, how do you foresee AI impacting payroll in the short term? Because I know a lot of the conversations are longer term. Will it impact jobs? What about in the near term?
Because I reached out to some of the payroll vendors that I have in my network, and I said, how are you using AI? And some of them are still exploring, like, what is the longer term usage of AI? How we're going to connect, how we're going to implement. So I think everybody is struggling with the same question, like, how? Because now it's there, and how are we going to do it? So if I look at our payroll world at S&P, I think our data validations, our reasonable checks of data, our metrics, exception reporting, all that kind is going to be much faster, much quicker, more accurate. One thing that I am really hopeful that we can implement quickly is, we all have the issue that, you know, you want to pay, and then how much money do you need in your bank account? How much do you need to fund? And we should be able to use technology to project out 1 year, 2 years, knowing that there are variables. It's still an estimation, but project out based on historical data, what money do you need? And the relationship with Treasury is one that I think is critically important, because if you can't pay your people, then you have a different issue. But that's where I see the short term. Is where I see data validation, projection of what we need in the future, how much will our payroll cost be? And then the office usage, like, you know, creating a PowerPoint out of a transcript from your Teams or from a Word document, and it's really a press of the button, and you know, you go from a Word document to a PowerPoint presentation. I think that's where the short-term implementation is for payroll. Longer term, I'm going back and forth a little bit, because if you outsource your payroll, you are going to be heavily dependent on what your payroll vendors are implementing and the quality of their technology. But you still have data in, data out. And that analysis, especially if you have a lot of people, that is where I think we have a lot of opportunity using AI.
What about in the long term in relation to the world that I operate in then, which is that we mentioned earlier, the risk to jobs? So I have a view on this, but I'd love to get your view on how you see the industry changing in terms of the kind of roles we might see in the future. Or even if I was a payroll professional operating in the moment at a transactional level, how that role might evolve in the longer term.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a part that is manual, and it also depends on how much your company wants to invest in automation. There are going to be countries where you have one or two employees that they're not going to pay a $25,000 implementation fee for maybe one-time card. So I think there's going to be a reasonableness check. But I do think that the people who do the work, the processors, I think the focus will shift to controls on completeness, accuracy. Did AI give you what you expected it will give you? But also, like, data privacy, big issue. Like, how do you protect your data in the world of AI? And I think that is going to be an interesting topic in the future. And how is legislation around AI going to impact payroll processing? That I don't know. But to come back to your question, I do think our profile will change. I don't think we need a lot of the keyers. I do think we need a lot of analysts.
I see analysts come. We're seeing that already. Yeah, we're seeing the analysts coming already into the market space. We've recruited more analysts in the last 12 months than we've ever done before. I think there are two things that come to mind in your response. One, going back to the PowerPoint response, which I love, by the way, for a simple reason of we can use AI to turn a Word document into a PowerPoint presentation, which is wonderful. But AI is not going to deliver the presentation for you. To bring that to life still requires the human expert at the end that is just loud. It just saves you all the time that isn't what we're designed to do. We're here to talk. If you're going to be on a stage, talk about payroll. Let's talk about payroll and not lose 4 days in the world of PowerPoint slides, right? So I think that's a really good example of how we can use it, but why the human contextualization of the information on those slides is still, you know, that doesn't go away through AI. And I think that's really important.
Interesting. And I'm smiling while I say that, but I watched something yesterday and I just wondered, like, is the future that Anna Marie sits in Texas and I need to present something in New York, will there be a virtual Anna Marie, you know, presenting based on the PowerPoint that we just created with AI and I'm just in Texas looking at myself on a screen? That would be something.
Arguably, we can do that already in the metaverse, right? We can meet and have our own avatars present back to us in the metaverse as well. And people are, this is happening. Whether that's going to take off into widescreen, I guess the jury's still out, but it's an interesting, interesting theory. I think you mentioned as well the idea that things are going to change. One thing I see changing is the security thing. I think in terms of people checking a payslip. Now, we've got AI chatbots coming out of our ears now that are answering queries. And that's a great thing. And they have a service level thing. But if I'm an employee calling about a complex inquiry about our personal data, typically a payroll, you know, and it needs a personal response rather than a chatbot, then you may have to go through some certain verification processes before you give that data away. Of course, AI now can soundbite a voice, can impersonate the voice. We've seen examples in the US, without scaring people here, but this has happened, of ransom calls coming in where they've got a copy or an audio of a child's voice and they've managed to put it through AI and suddenly the voice is saying, "Mommy, mommy, I've been taken," which hasn't happened, but you need to pay the money by this point, or, you know, and then they realize that their kid's in the front room and it's scary. I wonder if we might be moving into an era where that could start infiltrating into a payroll process where people are calling and trying to get access to data in different ways. Now, that might be I probably position that as a really scary way of doing things. And apologies, I didn't mean to scare everybody, but the reality is we need to be a little bit sharp with our security protocols as well. How do you see the world of security and payroll working together as information continually, as technology continually evolves, but also because payroll data now is arguably more valuable than it's ever been before because of the greater emphasis we're now putting on the analytics that payroll have access to?
It's a really, really good topic. And I think you can do a podcast on that alone. The companies I've worked for had a really, really high focus on data security and data privacy. And as a payroll specialist, a payroll employee, you know, you are the security guard of our payroll data, like, and follow your protocols, but also listen to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, often it is not right. And that is something that is so significantly different with AI, is you can train AI what to do, but we have the feeling, we have the emotion, we have the gut feel. That is what makes us different. And if something doesn't feel right, then you have to listen to your gut. You have to act on that. And that is not just in the future, it's happening now as well. Like the phishing emails, the calls that you get, like, you have to use your common sense.
Yeah, if it doesn't feel right, as you say, well, they call our gut our second brain, right? It's where we produce serotonin and dopamine, all the things that's all produced in the gut, not in our brains. And I think sometimes we need to listen to our gut. If it doesn't feel right, it's not worth it. Take the extra moment to take an extra check.
For sure. And actually, we've almost been caught out at our own business here with an invoice where we was intercepted, and the invoice was received on the time and date we expected it, but the account details had changed, but everything else was identical, and we pay this invoice regularly on the same day. They knew exactly when it went out, but the details had changed, and we have an internal policy now to always call, physically speak to someone rather than email check. And lo and behold, we discovered that someone had attempted to extract money that way, and it was a very, very intelligent way of doing things, because I don't know how long they've been monitoring or seen or whatever, but this happens. So things are getting more intelligent, and that we need to be more intelligent with it, which is why I love your commitment to education and upskilling, and because it's those kind of things that allow us to tackle, I guess, the industries that are coming next.
It also makes me wonder, like we've seen in the news in the last couple of weeks, some really pretty big companies who incorrectly paid their employees for months and months and months. And you wonder, how could AI help? Could they have done something and use technology to compare systems against each other to do a projection? Like, how can you go live with a project and then 6-7 months of incorrect pay and nobody notice it until it comes out in the news? Like, I still think that even though we're all focused on this AI, I think there are still a lot of companies, even big ones, that are far more manual than we actually think is the case. And for those, it's going to be a big shock, because they go from almost zero to catch up with AI, and that's almost...
Hello, HR and people leaders. Are you not exhausted from the endless war for talent battle cries? I think it's time for a fresh approach, which is why at JGA Recruitment, we understand the real challenges you face in sourcing top HR talent. And guess what? We believe we have the solution. Our team is on a mission to revolutionize your hiring process, because we're not just recruiters. We're strategic partners dedicated to finding the best HR and people professionals who align perfectly with your company's vision and goals. Let's break the cycle of frustration together. Join forces with JGA Recruitment and experience the difference in hiring better talent faster. Don't let another day go by without taking action. Contact us today by visiting jgarecruitment.com to discover how we can transform your HR team. And here's a bonus. When you visit us, why not sign up for our weekly HR newsletter? Because it's packed with invaluable industry insights and more. We really hope you can revolutionize your HR department by working with JGA Recruitment. Contact us today.
But I have a question then. Let's stay on that point for a moment, because I think this is quite interesting. It's a big company, still very manual. What do you think is the reticence then in investing in payroll? Because I would argue now that payroll's been shot into the spotlight. It's a department that needs the recognition it deserves. It needs investment to make sure that we improve processes for a multitude of reasons. So where does the reticence come from senior stakeholders who aren't modernizing their functions? What's the challenge that payrollers are potentially being faced with when they say to their board, look, I want to do this thing. We need to do this. We need to bring ourselves into the modern world of work. And they're met with a no. You've probably got more experience of that than I have.
Yeah, and it's always difficult, because as a company, just like I as a person, you can only invest your money once. And if you have to decide between investing in opportunities that bring revenue in, or you invest in something that's only going to cost money, you know, I know there's leakage and all kind of other stuff that is costing the company money, but it's still a little bit that view that we're the back office, so you're the last priority. I would say, you know, transparency is key. People don't understand how complex payroll is. They don't understand the risk with payroll, and they don't understand how much payroll is actually costing the company. And I'm not talking about the payroll vendor invoices, but overpayments to employees, the time you spend on correcting invoices, overpaying authorities trying to get the money back. And, you know, we can go on and on. There are plenty of examples, but you have to make it visible. I think that's where you start, is you start to tell your story, and you start to show the benefit you can bring to the company by bringing automation, technology, and investment to the payroll department. And sometimes it starts with just saving labor hours on an annual basis. Like, that could be your starting point. You don't have to come and save $5 million for the company. But even if you can show that by doing this, you can save labor hours, which means not necessarily mean you have to let people go, but you can grow with the company, you can scale without adding additional headcount. That already is a really powerful message to tell. And that's where I think technology and AI come in, is they can help you scale. And I said it before, they can help you work smarter, not harder. And I truly believe that is where you need to start. You have to tell your story.
Yeah, I love that. I love the fact you said that it starts with visibility. I couldn't agree more with that, because that's the opportunity to change the narrative that it's not, yes, it is a function that pays out probably bigger than any other department in the business, but actually because of the economies of scale here, if we're able to reduce those overpayments you mentioned, or reduce the labor hours, whatever it might be, if we multiply that over economy of a 10,000 employee business or bigger, or in these states, you've got hundreds of thousands of employees in some companies. Now, those savings are so significant. That can be the difference between make and break of a good P&L year for a company. So, but as you say, it starts with that visibility and that education piece of saying, look, yes, we pay out, but hey, if you invest in our function, we can reduce those overpayments, and we can start giving you analysis on this, and we can start helping HR and Global Mobility and other functions deliver what they need to do. And I guess that leads me to my next question for you, because you are multi-talented. It's not just payroll that's your wheelhouse anymore, because you've developed your own expertise into the world of global mobility and immigration. That's obviously done a lot for your career and your elevation and your understanding. I've been trying to push the narrative on this show in particular to say, payroll people, go and collaborate with your stakeholders and other functions, right? We're blurring the boundaries between roles. And if you can understand them and understand their problems, then you're going to have better relationships, going to raise the profile of the industry in your department and so on and so forth, and raise your status in the process. But that's my view. I'd love to get your view on collaboration in the world of payroll and how you've been able to do that successfully, number one, and be what it could do to the listeners of the show if they were to do something similar.
Yeah, and so first of all, sometimes opportunity end up on your path, and I'm a big believer in that you have to take them. I had my failures on that as well, where I took something on and it was a complete failure. But as you said earlier, without failure, you don't grow, you don't learn, you get stuck. You know, in the end, I've done equity as well. So I think I have a very broad background. Now, I won't call myself an equity expert, but I have enough knowledge to know if something makes sense, yes or no. I know the legislation, but here's how I look at it. It's like, in the end, there are a lot of departments that are connected, tied to the hip with payroll, like global mobility, immigration. If something goes wrong, it impacts payroll. You need data from global mobility to process in payroll. What better opportunity than to bring it all together and make it one team? And as one team, you can work together on making sure, one, you provide an even better employee experience, because people move in country, now suddenly you have all the knowledge in one department. You also know where the pitfalls are in the different departments, which you then can fix. You are like complementing each other instead of being competitors of each other. Let me put it that way. So I see it as an opportunity to influence the overall employee experience, to bring the payroll world to mobility, and to bring the mobility and immigration world to payroll. And together, we can make an even bigger difference for the company. And it all starts also with, like, I just took over global mobility and immigration. So we're building a metrics deck. We're looking at our policies. We're, you know, holding vendors accountable. But in the end, together, we're going to make it a fantastic experience. We make sure people understand their payslip in country A and country B. They understand why certain income ends up on their pay stub or not. We can actually talk to each other if we think we're missing data. We both have a very critical view of the vendors we work with. So I'm excited about it, and I will make mistakes. I have no doubt. And my face says it all. I will sometimes, you know, make a wrong decision, but that's okay. It's always with the right intent. It's always to do something right. And if by my intent to do that right, I'll do it wrong, I'll learn from it, and it never happens again. But I see it as like, in the end, yes, we're payroll, yes, we're mobility, we're equity, we're compensation, but we're all working for the same employee to make sure that employee takes home what they're supposed to take home and that they understand their tax, their social security, and their paycheck. And yet one has a mobility label, the other one has a payroll label. But I think it's a very exciting opportunity.
Well, you've demonstrated a great example of how payroll can break down silos there really as well, which is something that I think we need to do if we're going to really project the industry forward. But I think what's really interesting, and this isn't the first time I've raised it, and people will be aware of this transition. I wondered if it's something that you predicted. I'd be interested to know, Anne-Marie, but certainly, well, two parts to my next question, really. You mentioned employee experience a couple of times. Now, when I started this show, even in 2018, we weren't talking about payroll and employee experience at all. Those two words were not really connected. They didn't really come into the same conversation because they weren't part of that conversation. But now you can't read an article or go anywhere without linking the employee experience to payroll. And I know a lot of that's been influenced by the Great Resignation or Great Awakening, which I was, you know, as a recruiter, saw that in all its glory. But I think it's a really positive transition for payroll because it does allow us now to be more, you know, in the limelight and show the great work that we do. And I think to bring it back full circle with the world of AI now, I think AI can also help us continue to build our relationship with the employee experience. But I'd love to get your view on how that industry shifted for you and when it shifted for you and why it's so important, I guess, that we do really focus on the employee experience going forward.
I think it is the last couple of years. Like in the past, it was all about data. It was all about metrics. And I think what shifted as well is that the workforce is changing. Like the different types, you have your baby boomers, your Gen X, your Gen Y, Gen Z, they all have different requirements. And getting the right people in place is tough for companies. Like the labor market is not an employer's market at the moment. Like people have demands. They don't want, like I worked 7 days per week. People don't want to do that anymore. Honestly, I also don't want to do that anymore. But I think in all fairness, like you have to, like I tell the payroll story, as an employer, you also need to tell a story for your employees to bring them in. And that story is wellness, it's financial health, it's payroll, it's your benefits, it's your retention equity, your training budget. All of that together is your employee experience. And if immigration, mobility, equity, payroll, if any of those links in the employee chain breaks, you impact your employee experience. And I've seen that's where the shift is going. And I think it's great because not everybody has the same requirements. Not everybody has the same demands. And I think it's great that we start thinking more about what people need and not so much what the company needs. But it needs to be a fine balance in the middle. And I think that's where we're trying to figure out what that middle ground is.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's definitely been a more holistic approach to payroll services now than there's ever been before. And I think there's more of a suite of offerings we can take in. A lot of, people talking at the moment about pay on demand or EWA and whether that's right for your business. And I only learned recently, Anne-Marie, and you'll know this from being from the Netherlands, I'm sure, that I thought that was well adopted now across the globe. It turns out it's massive in the States. It's being rapidly adopted in the UK, but actually for the rest of Europe, it's too legislation is too complex and not so much. You think, there was me going off on one train and I've made an assumption that's not actually correct.
With AI as well, it's like we can run and implement it. And I think it will do wonderful things. But just like with, you know, earned wage access or pay on demand, legislation is going to fall behind. And I think that's where companies are hesitant on implementing is because what happens if some country says, well, you pay on demand, so now you have to run a daily payroll? Or, you know, like it can be mind blowing. You know, sometimes legislation goes in a way that you would not anticipate. I think that's where people are more hesitant or companies are more hesitant to fully implement it. I've known a few companies that implemented it and it works perfectly for them. But also with, I think legislation will dictate as well how quick or how much we can use. And it will all come. Some things just take longer than others.
Yeah, no, you make a really, really good point. So if I bring it back then to the strategic side of AI, and I'm conscious that people listening really want to get going to squeeze as much of this AI intelligence as we can out of you, Anne-Marie, today. So as strategic directions change with AI integration, and obviously you're looking at how that can be integrated right now, and I know you've already been involved in integrating AI in certain areas, how should companies manage expectations? Or how can even payroll managers start to manage expectations for senior stakeholders? It's probably a two-part question.
Yeah, and that's a good question because my managers, my bosses also are really anxious and want, not anxious, but they want to implement. And I think it's important to first, you need to understand as a payroll leader, what do you want for your team? What is realistic? Because people can tell you that they want the North Star and they want it tomorrow. But if you look at your own payroll landscape, you may not be there. And let me give an example. In one of my previous companies, when I started, I wanted to help people visualize where we were in the payroll landscape. So I had my North Star, that was my diamond. And then I had a gold phase and a silver phase and a bronze phase. I had to add a wooden phase because in some countries we were so manual that it didn't fit anywhere else. And the moment I showed that to leadership, somehow that visualization helped them realize that they all wanted to run to the North Star, but you can't go from wood to diamond in a week. And that is with AI as well. I think there are some low-hanging fruit that you can easily implement if your company brings it to you, like your emails, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, chatbots, you could potentially do something there. But if you want to make a difference also on the automating side, the interfaces, the data validation, you need to partner with your technical teams. You need to partner with your AI team. Write down what you're looking for. Have the experts help you what is possible. And maybe you can build a 1 to 2 year roadmap that is achievable, because there's no use in trying to run a marathon if you can't walk. So it's better to present something that you can actually deliver on, and you can see that they can see you're making progress, than that you go on the hype and you're going to overpromise and underdeliver. That is not something that helps you. So for me, that means we have an AI department. I have somebody in my team who works very closely with them. My current boss is going to be the new boss of that department. So I'll have regular meetings with him. And, sometimes we'll move fast. Sometimes it may take a little bit longer. Sometimes we may get deprioritized. But it's important that I have a strategy, I have a vision. And if something interrupts that vision, I need to be able to articulate why. It means that I'm in control. I know what I want. And that would be my biggest advice, is implement the low-hanging fruit. And you will see that you're probably going to be quicker a trendsetter and ahead of some other department than you realize by just doing that. And then depend on your payroll vendors. Ask your payroll vendors to check what they're doing and see if you can, be on that side. Maybe you can help them beta test, or, there are multiple opportunities there.
I agree. I think you've summed that up really well. I mean, I was going to ask if people should be run, walking, crawling, or making a combination of it, but I think you've kind of answered that question in that response. I love your wood to diamond analogy. And I think there is a lot of low-hanging fruit that people can take advantage on. I think something to, as an area of caution, and we've discovered this in the world of talent acquisition, which is absolutely being revolutionized by AI products, shall we say, in inverted commas. And it's very easy to be influenced by the shiny bells and whistles and things that come out. Oh, that sounds good, looks good. And then you see a price point and you realize actually this is a skin over something that's very simple in design underneath. And that's number one. But number two is it something that I actually need? And I think AI can do so many great things. My word of caution for those that are in payroll who are getting hit with the vendors or the solution providers out there, a lot of them are brand new to the market, have no track record in payroll whatsoever. And I know this because they want to be on this show. And I'm like, you were founded only 3 months ago. I don't know you in the space. And therefore, I can't verify that your product is good, bad, or indifferent. And there's an area of obviously protection for our listeners. But I think there also needs to be an area of protection for those that are working in payroll who are getting, you know, pitched these products. And that's not to say that some of them aren't absolutely fantastic, because some of them will be. But equally, there'll be some out there that just aren't necessarily necessary and may not help you, may actually hinder and do the opposite. And I think there is a little bit of a landscape to navigate, I guess, as well as understand. I don't know if you've seen something similar in your side, Amy. You must get pitched on things as well.
I get hit up all the time on LinkedIn by people who think they have the solution for everything. And here's how I look at it. You need a vendor who is financially stable. You need a vendor who knows the payroll space. More importantly, I think you also need a vendor who can help you be successful. If you need something quick out of the ordinary, the vendor needs to be there for you. Like, you can have all the technology, but if their customer service is bad, they don't respond to the questions you have, or your payroll is wrong, you know, all their technology at the back end is useless if they can't deliver on some of the core competencies. And that's where I'm like, I'm a fan of some of the development in the payroll space. I think it's time for some new players in the market, but I don't want to be their guinea pig. I want to see if they're still around a couple of years down the road.
Yeah, it's a nice way of thinking about it. Well, my last question, I want to open the vault. I'm excited to open the vault with you today, Anne-Marie. My last question is this. What are you excited about in terms of the future of the payroll industry? This doesn't necessarily have to be an AI related question, but it could, of course, it certainly could be. What's the kind of innovation, the thing that you're really optimistic about as we go into what is going to be a new future for the world of work and payroll?
Yeah. So there are a few things. One is, I'm convinced we can have a touchless payroll in the future. That's my North Star. I don't want to touch any data. It should go from A to B, and we should just be on the back end checking, making sure we're compliant, no funding in the bank account. But I really think touchless payroll is the future. I also think people are getting smarter, so we need to be more sophisticated. I see an enormous increase in training and focus on payroll training, which I welcome. We too often throw people in the deep and say, you process the Norwegian payroll now, and then they have no clue. I also think we don't train enough on what it means to be a manager in payroll, to manage a global landscape. It's all focused on the country knowledge, but there's so much more than country knowledge. Like, AI is a great example. Like, how can you become the leader that supports your team in the AI journey while it's new to you? Like, what do you need to do? And I think, like, I would love for us to connect maybe 9 months to a year out, do a recap of this and see what we've learned, where we are, how it evolved. But I'm excited. I think it will be better, faster, probably more individual as well.
Well, I think you've just cemented your place on the show next year, Anne-Marie. We'll have to have you back and we'll review. I mean, that has to happen now. I'd be excited to. So excited to do that with you for sure. I think yeah, you're absolutely right in everything you've said. Certainly in relation to leadership capability, I think, as you say, a lot of the training is focused, and I'm talking about internal investment. People want to make sure they understand how to process a country, but actually often these individuals are managing large teams, and they're because you're really good at payroll doesn't necessarily mean you've got all the skills to be a great leader. And yet people want to be, they want that investment, but it's not as always as forthcoming as it probably should be. And I think as we move towards a, more of a coaching culture within modern business as well. I think it's a skill that's often overlooked. I know you've done your master's in leadership, so you'll be more knowledgeable than I am on the subject for sure. But I think it's something that certainly it could be invested in more in the profession to help support the leaders in that work so tirelessly in the world of payroll for sure. I'm going to love to open the payroll vault. I'm excited. Three short, sharp questions for you, Anne-Marie. The first is this. Drawing from your extensive career, what's one piece of timeless advice you could offer to payroll professionals today?
You're part of the problem and you're part of the solution. So this is my lesson learned very early, is like, if you point a finger, 3-4 fingers point back at you. Even though somebody else may make a mistake, the moment you knew about it and you could have helped and you didn't, makes you part of the problem. So instead of pointing a finger, be part of the solution.
Love, that's deep. I like that. What a great start. Oh, I love that response. You're speaking to my coaching heart now, Anne-Marie.
I was not happy when I was told that, but it was my biggest learning. I thought I would get a different answer, and this was the answer I got, and it stuck with me throughout my whole career.
Very good. Well, I love that. I love going deep. Let's see where number two takes us. So looking ahead, what key features or capabilities do you envision will define the future of payroll technology?
So I would say if you're looking at technology, I think it will be AI. I think that will be a massive part of payroll landscape. The knowledge of the people will change, and people need to be more analytical and more focused on the compliance control side, and not so much on like the data entry repetitive task. I think those will go away.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. We've just done a session on AI as well. I thought that might be the answer, but you never know till we get there. Last not least, a little bit of fun. If you were to liken the payroll industry to a book, a song, or a film, which one would it be and why?
It's probably going to be a combination between a musical and a horror movie, because we have days where we sing and dance and happy, we close payroll. And then we have the horror parts of something goes wrong and it's year end and we have too much work. But I absolutely would love to see that movie. I think it would be great.
It reminds me, I've always said my answer, I think, would be Bohemian Rhapsody as a song. Because if you've never heard that song, I know we know it now, it's in popular pop culture. But if you didn't know it, you never know where that song is going. Like, it's, you know, it's forward thinking because it's like nothing we've ever heard before. So it's ahead of the curve. But we never quite know where the song is going to go. It's a little bit mad. It's definitely a little bit nuanced. It's entertaining. And I think that I've always thought Bohemian Rhapsody for Pay will be the song that I would pick for those reasons.
Yeah, I think a song would be good as well. But I think like next time you would ask like who would be the players in your movie, that is something I'm going to think about.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll save that question for a year from now and I'll ask you that instead, and we can you'll have plenty of time to think about it when we have you back on the show. Listen, for those that want to find out more about you, Anne-Marie, do you mind if I share your LinkedIn profile with our listeners in our show notes? So I'll put a link on there. Anne-Marie's very active on LinkedIn, so definitely worth following. Yes, for sure. So I'll put that link in the show notes. Of course, if you're interested in any specialist recruitment support, we're now stateside as well, or in the UK, please do get in touch with myself or my team at jgarecruitment.com. Do reach out to Anne-Marie. Do stay updated on her latest insights and contributions to global payroll. You'll be surprised how often she pops up in different conferences and talking gigs. And she definitely is a real industry luminary in the world of global payroll. So if you haven't come across Anne-Marie before, you certainly will now. Of course, a huge thank you from me to you for joining me on today's show. I'm sorry it's taken so long to bring you here. And remember, last but not least, the Payroll Podcast, I hope, can become everyone who's listening to this is go-to source for the latest trends, technological changes, and all the things that are happening in the industry. So please do remember to subscribe to the show, add it to your favorites, whatever your favorite podcast platform is. Follow us on YouTube for the live videos that we're doing right now. And I'd be incredibly grateful if you get a moment to either share it with a colleague or review the show. That would be absolutely wonderful. Just leaves me to say one huge thank you once more to Anne-Marie Verwagen for joining me today on the Payroll Podcast. I've enjoyed every single second. And I'm glad I finally got you on the show. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nick. This was a pleasure. Thank you.
Today's sponsor is brought to you by Deel. That's D-E-E-L. Deel's the all-in-one global people platform built for all aspects of your global work, whether you're an enterprise business, a small company, or something in between. And now, Deel has commissioned Forrester Consulting to bring us the latest insights on the state of global payroll.
Many of today's global payroll solutions are fragmented. They're costly and unreliable, which is leading to inconsistent employee experiences and a loss of talent. In fact, most businesses use over 6 platforms and tools just to pay their global teams. The solution? Well, a unified payroll solution that allows businesses to expand globally in a more seamless, compliant, and cost-effective way. Deel's fully managed global payroll makes it possible to pay your entire team in over 100 countries and over 200 currencies all in one place. You can download the latest Forrester study now and explore how other areas of business are being affected by fragmented payroll systems, like financial planning, HR admin, employee experience, and more. And of course, why a unified global payroll platform like Deel can help. Click the link in the show notes to download the study. And thanks again to Deel, that's